Dynamite!
It's Dynamite!
Wednesday night, Dynamite!
So Dynamite!
This is awesome! It's a dick, it's a nut, it's a dick! Hey, everybody, have a great time!
It's Dynamite!
I'm not one of these f***ing goof podcasters out there. I'm Don Tony, Wednesday night, Dynamite! People don't know why I did that. Trust me, I washed it. This is the third time I'm wearing this in 3 days. Tell you what a nice tribute to Brody Lee today from AEW. I hope everyone allows me the privilege to maybe end this show a little bit earlier than usual today. Gonna recap AEW, obviously, in a Brody Lee tribute show. Gonna recap NXT, maybe spend a couple of moments on Impact Wrestling because there's a lot of news coming out of that. Preview what's going to be going on with not only NXT but AEW over the next 2 weeks. But I want to just welcome you all to Wednesday Night Dynamite. I am Don Tony as always. And you know, Tony Schiavone, I think, said it so well today. And yes, let's be honest. For a smaller promotion, it's a lot easier to do this. But tonight's not about ratings. It's not about the bottom line. It's not about competition. It's about a tribute. Tribute to a fallen comrade of AEW and the wrestling world. One of the leaders of AEW, if you search the net over the last couple of days, you realize how much this man has touched so many people. And I will tell you, you know, as years go by, some people, their legacy grows and grows and grows. But I truly believe after the last few days of reading what I'm reading online, I think every single person in the wrestling world that is said personal experiences with Brody Lee. Some of the comments you heard tonight from Jon Moxley and Chris Jericho and Eddie Kingston and others, even referee Bryce. I think if Brody Lee was still alive today, I think every single person out there who has written or said something in the last 72 hours would write the very same thing. They would just use the word is instead of was. And I really mean that. I'm not going to lie to everyone out there. I'm kind of wiped out as far as, you know, just thinking about what happened, paying tribute. This is the fourth show I'm doing talking about Brody Lee's passing in 3 days. One thing I realized, you never get sick and tired of appreciating someone that you enjoyed throughout their career. I mentioned this on Monday. First time I ever saw Brody Lee wrestle was around 2008 or 2009. He wrestled someone who I call a friend that in wrestling, Grim Reefer, if anybody knows in the Northeast over here. Big supporter of him. Got to see him work Jersey All Pro Wrestling. I got to look up the match because, like I said on Monday, for some reason, Necro Butcher keeps coming to mind. So it might have been a tag team match. But it was so cool. And to see him make it to WWE after working Ring of Honor, Chikara, Jersey All Pro, and a few other indie promotions, it was cool. And to see the Wyatt family, I mean, it was mind blowing. I mean, that faction was awesome. And I tell you, I didn't take too many pictures from tonight's AEW show, but out of everything that I saw today, you know, we could see the boots being left in the ring at the very end. Tony Khan saying some very classy words. seeing his family, seeing everybody being real and emotional. And, you know, they didn't break the, was it the fourth wall or the fifth wall, whatever that phrase is. But I tell you, you know, for me, number one, I think Lance Archer should keep this look for a little while. I mean, obviously, you know, Brody Lee had that look as Luke Harper. But I tell you, Lance Archer wore it proud tonight. Loved the way it looked on him, by the way. And we got a surprise and a very, very emotional Eric Redbeard, Eric Rowan. And he made an appearance. I don't know if he'll be sticking around. I hope that he does. You know, it was one of those nights where, you know, if you're more into, like, storyline, suspension of disbelief and, you know, a progression of things, you know, you didn't get it all that much tonight in AEW. All the people that should have won. And that doesn't happen all that often. You look at tribute shows that have been done, whether it's on television or a local indie promotion, you know, and usually the team or the person that everybody roots to win because of their fallen friend doesn't always come back with that outcome. And I tell you, it was just a night to forget about ratings. Sure, we'll cover ratings. I mean, that's what we do. But tonight was just about just appreciating this guy, pay him one tribute. Now, I don't want to get into the whole WWE thing today. You know, I mentioned it on Monday. You know, a lot of people out there that said some, you know, analysis on WWE not putting out a tribute. You know, I was not trying to defend WWE, but I pointed this out on Monday. If you ever notice WWE's tributes, they're either non-existent or balls out. Never really have fast job. And, you know, when Pat Patterson passed, they had this tremendous montage and tribute with commentary already done. 95% of it was already in the bag. They did not have anything prepared for the passing of Brody Lee at 41 years old. With COVID, with a very limited staff, it just was almost impossible for them to put together a package for Monday. They put up a good playlist and a few things on the website. And I know what some of you are going to say. Well, look at what AEW did today. Yeah, I mean, they took footage from a couple of appearances by Brody Lee, some backstage segments, and a lot of photos online. And for me, that's enough. That's more than enough. And WWE, I tell you, they should have at minimum did a little 10-bell salute on Monday. This wasn't just somebody dying in pro wrestling. This is somebody dying at 41 years old. This is somebody dying that truly was a good person, good father, good husband, good friend. Now, in the last couple of days, I was thinking to myself, you know, what possible reason would they not even consider a 10-bell salute? It's not about, well, that might give attention to AEW. I got news for you. They gave more attention to AEW by not doing much. The only thing I can think of, and this might be the conspiracy theory DT talking, and trust me, I'm not pulling a Bruce Mitchell. I'm not bringing him up. I mentioned him for about 30 seconds on Monday. The only thing I will say about that whole Bruce Mitchell situation, number one, I could care less about the torch. I've been saying that for 20 years. I could care less about him. I'm not going to, you know, poke fun, but I will say two things about it. Number one, you know, there's a place and a time for trying to get answers and trying to understand why this happened, why somebody in the greatest of shape at 41 years old is taken like that, you know. There's a place and time for that. But this week was not about trying to get answers or trying to claim that someone is a liar or this doesn't make sense or this is inaccurate. You know, there's a lot of things about life that doesn't make sense. This week was about respect. And that man showed no respect to that family. That family owes no explanation to anybody out there exactly why this guy died, exactly what was the... what. They owe nothing. They owe nothing. That's number one. And number two, what I'll say, and I brought this up on Patreon, and I think I brought it up Monday, but he wrote that column on The Torch. He no longer writes for The Torch, but he wrote that column on The Torch. And all I saw in his tweets for the last couple of days is, oh, I stand by my, I stand by what I said. I stand by what I said. I stand by what I said. Well, sir, with all due respect, your Twitter account is your Twitter account. If you stand by what you said, why didn't you repost your words on your Twitter account? Why didn't you just take your Corel Paint Shop program or whatever you use, Photoshop, type it in text, and post it on your own Twitter? Why don't you sticky it? And the man never reposted it on Twitter. Why? Because that man is just looking for attention right now. That's all I care about that. So tonight is about just paying tribute to the man. Storylines could be put on hold for a week. We got a little bit of a teaser with the Acclaim stuff that's going to set up for next week. I know some people are really getting their balls in a bunch online because MJF posted a tweet tonight with some derogatory words about Brody Lee's son. But, you know, Brody Lee's son did nail MJF with the Singapore cane today. And, you know, it was a sad night, but it was a fun night because you didn't have to overthink tonight. You just take it in. You know, some of the matches on, if you look at it on paper, you know, that might have been a channel changer at any other night. Tonight, I was fine with everything. Fine with everything. I want to shout out everybody who is tuning in. Much love, as always. Now, if you allow me to just plug something really quick, because I am still trying to iron out little things on my end. But if you're going to be around New Year's Eve, that's why I want to end the show a little bit early today, because tomorrow I'm going to probably need some things to talk about. But because we're in COVID, because a lot of people are staying home for New Year's Eve, if you are going to be online tomorrow night, even for a few minutes, you are more than welcome to stop by. I will be here live, reigning in the new year. Per request, and a lot of people got a kick out of it. You know, when we had some fun with the 10-year anniversary of 10-10-10 early this year for TNA, the podcast will probably start New Year's Eve at 10-10-10. 10 p.m., 10 minutes after 10 p.m. at 10 seconds. 10-10-10. So around 10 p.m., I might just make it 10 p.m. Thursday because I don't want to do it at 10-10-10 and then people tune in at 10 p.m. sharp and they're like, where's the show? So probably start around 10 p.m. New Year's Eve and we'll go till around 1 a.m. Maybe we'll finish a little earlier. Maybe we'll finish a little later. There's no format. We're just going to talk about whatever you want to talk about. So if you want to dictate the show a little bit, tune in live, speak your mind, let's have some fun. And we'll see how the show goes. We'll see how the conversations go. We'll see what kind of response everybody gets. Not just because of the new year. This is something I like to do every Thursday night, if that's possible. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, I enjoyed AEW. On the NXT side, I mean, having Ever-Rise come out to confront the grizzled young veterans and referee Aja, is that her name? You know, like getting fed up with, and she just walks to the back. I'm sorry. I just, out of it, and I'm not trying to be a jerk over here, but out of the entire NXT roster right now that's on television, the entire NXT roster, if you said to me, DT, choose two people that if they weren't ever on NXT ever again, you could care less about it. And honestly, right now, it has to be Ever-Rise. I feel bad for them because so many people, including yours truly, feel that they're like, this is the best way I could put it. And some of you out there may see like, wow, nobody ever made that comparison before, and that's so spot on. Some of you out there will say, what is he talking about? Some of you out there will say, you're dead wrong. WCW, in 1995, around 95, they brought in Rey Mysterio Jr. They brought in Juventud Guerrera, Psicosis, La Parca, Conan might have already been there a little bit, I'm not sure, but we got introduced full-blown Lucha Libre. Yes, we saw it in AAA. Yes, we saw it in When Worlds Collide. Yes, we saw it a little bit in ECW. Yes, we saw it on tapes. But WCW putting it on TV on a weekly basis was a big deal. We saw things that, for a lot of us, never seen before. WWE had none of that. And I remember, I don't know what year it was exactly. It might have been around 97. Don't nail me if I got the year wrong, but it's around that time. They tried to have their own light heavyweight division to go against WCW's cruiserweight division. And if I recall correctly, wasn't one of the first participants in the light heavyweight division Scott Putski? Go look up Scott Putski when he wrestled for the WWF in the later 90s. Then they tried to do the Super Astros, if I remember correctly. And it looked like a low-budget, generic version of WCW's Lucha Libre. That's what it felt like to me. They had some people who were promising, but when they were trying to do the light heavyweight stuff on TV and they tried to bring in luchadors that they had El Generico. No, I can't say Generico because that's sacrilege. I don't mean like that. Like, hey, how's this? They had El Brando versus El Nobody. El Nobody, number three. It was like a cheap knockoff of the real thing. And for me, Everrise is like what Super Astros and the light heavyweight division was going up against what WCW had to offer. They just look like a low-budget version of the Young Bucks. Yes, they don't wrestle like the Young Bucks. Yes, it's not intended, and I do feel bad for them. It's not their fault. But they have no charisma, no character development, no connection with the fans. Their quarter hour ratings, you know, Brody Lee's son is -1, you know, as a tribute to the Dark Order with all the numbers. I don't know if you could have a quarter hour rating of -1. I mean, I do remember at some points, I don't know what TV show it was. It might have been, damn, does anybody remember? There was a wrestling show on TV. It might have been one of the Mexican shows from, you know, Telemundo. But I remember getting ratings in the late 90s. And I remember the rating was 0.0. No, that's not a ripoff of Animal House. The rating was so low that it was calculated at 0.0. I kid you not. What's up, Nathan? What's up, everybody? So, Everrise, I mean, who would have ever thought that we would... I tell you the truth, the funny thing about it is Everrise probably got more talk on this show than he'll probably get in the whole year. Seriously. Who knows, man? 2020 has been a weird year. I close out the year now being a fan of Cameron Grimes, being a fan of Evil Uno. You know, I mean, who would have ever thought that? But I can't get into Everrise. You know, I'm a little bit confused as why you would have Leon Ruff versus Johnny Gargano to close out NXT today. Nothing against either person. You know that I am really into Gargano. I'm fine with the way stuff. And yes, almost every year-end award that was given out tonight by NXT, I thought was fine. I mean, really, the only thing that I found interesting was when they were talking about match of the year, you know, originally they had so many choices last week, and I think they narrowed it down to 5 or 6 today. So I'm going to get, yes, the curse is broken. Johnny Gargano wins, successfully defends the North American Championship. But I was just a little bit confused. I honestly thought we were going to see Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne close out the night. I would have even been fine with the night closing out with the confrontation with Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor leading to Priest and Cross somewhere. Finn, I got news for you, man. Kyle O'Reilly, you know, I always appreciated how talented he was, and is, Jesus. And I always compared him a little bit to Chris Benoit. That MF-er cut such an awesome emotional promo today that I got news for you, man. I think I'm going to be rooting for Kyle O'Reilly to win that title next week. It's just the more sexy match would be Finn Balor versus Karrion Kross, obviously. So do I think Kyle O'Reilly's going to win? I'd be pleasantly surprised, but when you look one step ahead, how WWE is going to promote, you know, Karrion Kross's title match, I see unless they want to get that belt back to Karrion Kross quickly, and Kyle O'Reilly is the interim champion, which I don't think is right for Kyle O'Reilly, in my opinion. But, yeah, he nailed it, man. And you know what? I know a lot of those guys don't tune into these shows. Some of them do. But, you know, Kyle O'Reilly should be proud because a lot of people out there right now saying he nailed it. Spot on. He was awesome today. And by the way, how cool is that? We have the return of the Dusty Tag Team Classic, the Dusty Classic. It happens in 2 weeks. I tell you, 2021 is opening up very interesting because I don't know if anybody is noticing this, but this is 2 out of 3 weeks now where NXT is promoting more matches in advance. And number two, you have 2 themed shows back to back. Is WWE going to try to take as much advantage of 2021 and really go that extra mile as far as presentation and promoting? You know, this, you know, the funny thing about it is, and I think this is why NXT, I think, loses so badly in the ratings. You know, I'll compare it to indie wrestling for a minute. And I'll even bring up TNA or Impact Wrestling because some of you will understand my point. You have an indie promotion in your neighborhood. Even when I used to do stuff for Frank Goodman, even TNA way back in the day, you all know what a street team is. I mean, TNA used to push it probably bigger than anyone else. Street team members. You put up flyers, you hand out, you know, I mean, obviously we don't have live fans right now, but you put out flyers, you hand out, ads, you post it everywhere, you go to stores, ask them if they would put the flyers on the counter. I mean, you do everything. I did it for XPW. I drove 2 hours all the way to Philly just to pass around flyers at CZW events. My point is, the reason why you flyer everything, the reason why you advertise as much as possible, as cheap as possible, the reason why you have a street team is you want to get the word out of your promotion as much as possible. But not only that, you want to get the word out of all the matches or the eye-catching matches that you're going to be offering. And the thing is that WWE thinks that simply because the letters are NXT and simply because it's the company behind it is WWE, that they only have to put one match a week in advance, or maybe 2 at the most. They won't even put their names on the graphics on the website. I mean, I don't know whose brainstorm idea that was that, but it doesn't look marquee. It looks like you're just taking, I could do it myself. You take the background of the NXT banner that I always show, and you get PNG files of the people parts of it, and then you just copy and paste it, and boom, there's your banner. It takes literally 30 seconds to do. And WWE, by making the banner so bland, by not advertising this stuff in advance, by not pushing it and doing virtual flyering just everywhere, it just looks lazy. It looks like you don't care. I'll give you another example. I don't care if you're a diehard AEW fan, a diehard NXT fan, you love both, you hate both. After the show is done tonight, just for a minute, go on AEW's social media account. Now, yes, the last 4 or 5 days, it's obviously extremely active because of what happened to Brody Lee. But if you go beyond 5 days and you go a week ago, count how many tweets AEW Dynamite on TNT posts in 5 days. And then you go to WWE NXT's page and see. NXT some days will only tweet once, maybe twice if you're lucky. AEW will tweet. And I said the AEW Twitter on TNT, because they have two Twitter accounts. They will tweet 20 to 30 times a day. They just, it's virtual flyers. Blah, 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 blah. So, anyway, enough of that. I definitely want to get into both shows today. And a couple of shout-outs. Obviously, Puffy89, I posted his super chat right before we went live, because I don't think anybody could have said it better. Nights like tonight make us proud to be a wrestling fan. Great show by AEW, and rest in peace, Brody Lee. 100% agree with that. 100% agree. You know, like I said, tonight was just about a celebration. You look at the match results, the Dark Order won tonight. I could literally just say, the Dark Order won tonight. Good night. I mean, that's literally the recap. But there was some really cool moments, so we'll obviously get into everything. JC Moya, what's up, my brother? Thought it was a beautiful show, and he cried a little bit. I got choked up towards the end. Oh, and you know what? I'm not, like I said, my New Year's resolution for all of you, my number one commandment is to not acknowledge a lot of these jerk-offs on social media. I'm going to try to keep the G word out of my vocabulary. So I'm not even going to pay attention to it tonight. But something tells me you will have quite a few people trying to get attention to themselves, saying, ooh, ooh. Do you know why I'm doing this? Ooh, ooh, AEW, ooh. You posted photos of WWE. Ooh. You know you're going to see that. They posted a Bray Wyatt picture. Ooh, you can't do that. That's the rival promotion. WWE's going to go after you. Ooh. Am I wrong? That's going to be all over the place. That's why after I'm done with the show today, I'm going to sleep. Not going to surf the net. Tomorrow I work a half a day. I come home. I start preparing to do the New Year's Eve stuff. Kiss my fiance's ass a little bit because she's allowing me to do this. You know, I said, you know, what are we doing New Year's Eve? She's like, what can we do? Can't go out to eat. Can't do this. Can't do that. Can't do this. My parents are going to Florida Sunday because they're going to get the COVID vaccine. They have a house out there, so, and plus, you know, I don't need to repeat their health history and their age. They qualify. They should be at the top of the list. I told them, smuggle an extra vaccine for me. Now, I'll wait. I don't mind waiting. I take my precautions. But I said, you have any problem if I rain in the new year over here? And she's like, no, as long as we have a toast of champagne. I said, well, you better get your ass in here. She's like, I'm going to be wearing pajamas. I said, as long as the neck up has makeup, that's all I care. So, you know, she was cool with it. She was cool with it. So, trust me, I know I name drop her a lot, but she's an awesome lady. And she's an awesome woman. She's a wrestling fan, too. And she doesn't mind me doing this as long as I keep it balanced, you know, not spend every day, you know. So, I'll be here with you all tomorrow. Also, Ken Terminator by DQ. Oh, you know what, Ken? I'm sorry. For some reason, this happens sometimes. I definitely do not want to disrespect Ken by having his name. There we go. Did I make fun of the Dark Order before and during Brody Lee running it? You probably are one of the only people that enjoyed the Dark Order when Brody mocked Vince. Look, you could go back and check out my episodes. I had no problem with Brody Lee doing the Vince McMahon character, because I remember vividly on this show saying that the character, Brody Lee's character, yes, there were shots at Vince, no question, but the storyline was he was drunk. Remember my three words? Drunk on power. You know, when they did this segment, when he showed up in the Escalade and all that, that was awesome, man. That was awesome. Let's be honest, though. The Dark Order has been kind of a mess. You know, Brody Lee coming in as the Exalted One. You know, remember, early on, we all thought it came down to two people, Matt Hardy or Brody Lee. And Brody Lee, you know, sitting at the table and, you know, was having some of his little things about himself, the way he ate, and some of the, it was a mock on Vince, but it was also, the storyline was he was drunk on power. And, you know, before he even got sick, the storyline felt like it just was a mess. I'm not going to lie to you, man. I mean, Colt Cabana was close with Brody Lee. And Colt Cabana, you know, did him proud today. I mean, everybody that worked tonight, I honestly, it's funny because usually every episode, and maybe I just didn't want to pay attention to it like that. Usually every episode of Dynamite, we have some criticism about some sloppiness and some moves and this and that. I don't recall any of that today. But my point is, as much as I like Colt Cabana, and as much as I acknowledge how important he is in that company, in front of and behind the camera, I still don't understand why he's in the Dark Order. I still don't understand why he doesn't dress like the Dark Order. I still don't understand when he lost all those matches and they were slapping him around his net. You know, usually when that happens, you get kicked out, you know? And my God, Evil Uno, I mean, Evil Uno, you know, he grew on me. And early on, it was Evil Pizza Uno. He lost a couple of pounds. Oh, and I thought it was so cool. It was so cool because I said this last week, and a lot of you out there said that you didn't notice it. And last week, I spent a couple of minutes here giving compliments to the Butcher on the weight that he lost and got himself in much better shape. And it wasn't just a ring gear change. You could see that guy did some serious weight loss this year. And it's not from being ill or anything. And today on Dynamite, I thought it was so cool to hear the commentators and Jericho acknowledge how much shape the Butcher has gone in this year. And you could see that this is what I, and I'm not saying that this is the case for the Butcher or anyone else, but this is one thing, you know, that I brought up when those awful reports were going around that wrestlers were being sent to the performance center, and that was like a negative thing, you know. And I thought it was so cool to have Otis do that interview with Ryan Satin and say, look, we're not working house shows right now. We're not working as much as we used to. We need to go to the performance center. We need to, you know, work out and do more things there to keep us fresh and everything. But one thing I also said, and I think it's so important, if there's any silver lining about wrestling in 2020, it is this. Whether you're on the indie circuit or you're in WWE or NXT or AEW, MLW, Ring of Honor, New Japan, it doesn't matter. A lot of these wrestlers wrestle 200 days a year. They're on the road almost all the time. It's not just the in-ring wrestling. It's going from town to town, state to state, and you get very little sleep before you as soon as you get in REM mode, the alarm goes off, you got to get ready because you got to catch a flight. Everything wears on you. If there was any consolation about 2020, and I've said this before, is that a lot of wrestlers healed. A lot of wrestlers, these little nagging injuries that you never could fully recover from, because just when you start feeling better, you got to work another show. Just when you start feeling better, you got to do this. Just when you start, you know, feeling like you got a really good night's sleep, you got to do this. And that's the reason why so many people used to take, you know, Xanax or Ambien to fall asleep. And then you got to take drugs to wake up and take drugs to, I mean, not hardcore drugs all the time, but you need something to help you sleep and something to keep you up and something to help you this and something to help you that. A lot of wrestlers were able to heal. And a lot of wrestlers, because of being able to heal, allowed some of them to get in better shape. So I thought John Silver was great today. We got Jake the Snake Roberts that did the DDT to Eddie Kingston, which I thought was cool. It was just a fun night. It's a sad night, but it was a night that we don't have to analyze. That's the one thing you're going to get from this show. Most of my analysis is done for tonight. Tonight was just about enjoying some wrestling, seeing the love and appreciation for somebody who passed away way too young. And on the NXT side, obviously, it has to be business as usual. They have New Year's Evil next week, and there was a match added, which I will get into. Now, a couple of things very quickly. You might remember AEW Games. They were supposed to start, I guess, like a podcast. I think Kenny Omega's involved in that. That was postponed for 1 week. So, yeah, next week you might have a choice. You tune into Wednesday Night Dynamite with yours truly, or maybe you check out AEW Games. But that'll be online all week. So that will be next week. Also, because of what we had today, AEW's two themed shows, you know, this New Year's Smash, that got postponed. Tonight was supposed to be night one. Week one, next week was supposed to be week two. So it starts next week. They already announced quite a few matches for next week. The week after, they announced a little bit as well. So I will give you that rundown a little bit later on. You know, I might as well give you the rundown now. There's no reason why I can't bring it up now. I just want to just put my little timestamp here. It's easier for me to type it later. So this is what you have next week for New Year's Smash. And anything I say right now does not spoil anything from match results tonight, because tonight was about Brody Lee, plain and simple. Next week, you have Kenny Omega versus Rey Fénix for the AEW Championship. Next week, you have Hikaru Shida defending the NXT, AEW Women's Championship against Abaddon. You have the Young Bucks teaming up with SCU next week versus TH2 and the Acclaimed. Jake Hager versus Wardlow next week. Cody Rhodes versus Matt Sydal. Next week, Jon Moxley will make his return in the ring. It's going to be interesting to see where they go with that. And next week, Chris Jericho will be on commentary once again. And Snoop Dogg will also be doing a guest spot here and there. And look, again, the Snoop Dogg stuff, I'm kind of glad that it didn't rise up to a whole lot of controversy. There's a new game show that's coming out that Cody's part of and Snoop Dogg is part of, and that's the number one reason why he's there. It's not to give the, you know, stick it to WWE stuff. No. You know, Snoop Dogg is everywhere, and that's why he's going to be on next week, and it's going to be mostly to plug that show. In two weeks, and AEW had a little bit of a technical difficulty earlier. Somebody inadvertently just posted the banner for the main event tonight instead of some of the matches for 2 weeks from now. But in 2 weeks, we have Darby Allin defending the TNT Championship against Brian Cage. Jurassic Express versus FTR. Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker, Eddie Kingston versus Pac, and Chuck Taylor will be taking on Miro. So that, I tell you, when you actually look at it like that, next week feels like the stronger card than the week after. But then again, next week is also New Year's Evil. So they're putting their tuxes on to go at it with New Year's Evil. But in 2 weeks, we have the return of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, like I mentioned before. And I think, did Roderick Strong and Adam Cole? Roderick Strong and Adam Cole, I believe, are representing the Undisputed Era. Oh, and by the way, like I said earlier, the awards for NXT were done today. You now see the difference between the Slammies and the NXT awards. Not only did NXT allow fans to vote, it wasn't the be-all, end-all. because when fans vote more on popularity than actually who deserves it. Fans definitely had a role in the awards, but in the end, WWE obviously makes the final decision. And I tell you, they could have done, you know, all these ridiculous extra categories to make sure that this person got an award or this person got an award. No, they just kept it very simple and to the point. And let's talk about AEW Dynamite first, and then we'll get into NXT tonight. Then I'll reveal the year-end awards. I don't think anybody's going to have any problems, really, with any of the winners tonight. We have some time. I will get into the Impact awards and a few other things. If not, we'll have a segment for Impact Wrestling on Friday. So, but anyway, AEW opens up today with a beautiful 10-bell salute. Everybody on the rampway, and right front and center is Tony Khan and Chris Jericho. You had his kids, Nolan and Brody. You had Brody's wife, Amanda. They were all front and center. And I don't know if anybody felt this. I know this is going to sound weird, but it felt like there were more than 10 bells rung. I'm not saying that as a technical. It was so powerful. And we've seen tributes in WWE. I'm not trying to compare the two. But, you know, maybe because, you know, when Owen Hart passed, I mean, most of us cried. Eddie Guerrero, I still have that footage when I did my hotline. And there's about 40 or 50 people calling in and everybody is sobbing. So I'm not comparing emotions. But at that time, you didn't have Twitter, especially Twitter. So you didn't have it where you saw all of these wrestlers having an outlet where they can just post pictures and emotions and tell stories and post clips and, you know, just really pour their heart out. And everybody is there in real time to witness that. Basically, what you got on TV is what you got. And today, I think because of just being caught up in the last couple of days, the 10 bells felt slow, and it felt like there was 100 bells. It was sad. And I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying it was so sad. And I will repeat what I said on the other shows. For all of you out there that have said, you know, points you would choked up, cried a little bit, whether it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, today, you know, all of us that it really like affected, a lot of you out there sent me emails, and a lot of you email me because there are trolls even on YouTube. Let's be honest. I try to delete as many. Most of the trolls you don't ever get to see. I usually delete them before you even get a chance to see the insults they write your way. But a lot of people open up a little bit more on DMs and emails. And I can't tell you how many of you out there made me feel like crap too, because so many of you out there who are around 40 or maybe a little bit after, a little bit before, and thinking, my God, you know, that could happen to anybody at any time. And it's true. It's true. So, they did the 10 bell salute and, you know, they opened up with it's Wednesday, so you know what that means. And John Moxley is the first person to pay a tribute. Tonight we had Moxley. We had referee Bryce. I don't remember his last name right now. We had Jericho, Eddie Kingston. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And you know what? Yes, this is unrelated to AEW Dynamite, but somebody just pointed it out. And no, I have always said that as far as Gilligan's Island goes, I always had a crush on Marianne. You know, Ginger I was never into. Mrs. Howell was a little bit too old for me back in the day. But for those that remember the show Gilligan's Island, Dawn Wells, who played Marianne, she died today, they said from complications of COVID. She had to have been at least 80. Don't super chat this, Ken, but how old was she? I think she might have been 82. And, you know, if I could live to be, I said this before, if I could live to be 62, I'm, you know, I won't be happy with that, but okay, I'll take it. But, you know, 82. You know, my God, if you told me that my parents could stick around to 82, I'd be kissing the ground in thanks that I have another decade with them. 82 is a ripe age, and it's a shame that COVID had to be a factor in it. But I tell you, one of the brightest, like, happiest people. You remember, she did some commercials, and she was just happy and giddy and everything like that. That's one thing about Marianne when throughout the years. She, you know, and you know, look, I haven't watched Gilligan's Island in probably 15 years, maybe more. Maybe saw one episode in 15 years. But I always remember the story that when they did that show and they signed contracts, apparently they signed a deal where they get no royalties. Think about all of the residuals from all the repeats and the syndication that's happened all those years. That's millions and millions and millions of dollars that they did not get because of the TV contracts that they signed. But I will tell you, that woman milked, and I say this as a compliment, she milked every part of Gilligan's Island. That damn show aired in the 60s. And up until now, like, you don't even know her from, like, the Lifetime movie where she played, I don't know, Leanne, the grandmother. Like, you don't know anything about her other than maybe a TV commercial in Gilligan's Island. She milked it, and good for her. Good for her. Sucks, man, when people die, no matter how old they are. So John Moxley's promo, you know, and he pretty much basically said that, what more can you say than what has been said already about Brody Lee? And, you know, he talks about 2020 has hurt us all, but Brody Lee's passing was like, you know, like a soccer kick to the face. You know, like, just a kick to the face, kick to the nuts. And, you know, I think the thing that really hit Moxley probably more is the fact that his wife is pregnant and he is going to be a dad. And I think that's probably the one thing that has come across about Brody Lee the last 4 days than anything else is the father, the husband, the family man. I mean, we know about his wrestling stuff. We all, at some points, enjoyed it. There were highs, there were lows, without a doubt. But the family aspect has reached out more than anything else the last 4 days. And here you have John Moxley. You know, think about it. I mean, you had the Shield, the Wyatt family. You think of all the back and forth. And, you know, but more importantly, John Moxley is going to be a dad. And he's at the beginning stages of what Brody Lee has had for a while. And you could see it really did affect him. Now, obviously, John Moxley is one of those that has a tough exterior, and you're not going to break through that. But it was a very classy, very emotional, and very fitting tribute to Brody Lee. And I'll tell you, this is one thing that I appreciated tonight about AEW, but at the same time, I will give a little criticism. I like the fact that they kept the personal tributes to a minimum. You didn't have someone speaking at every commercial break. You didn't overdo it, which is a good thing. But at the same point, I would have liked to have seen, like, the whole Dark Order have, unless I went to the bathroom, I don't think I missed it because I tried to make sure I didn't miss any little part of it. They should have, but then again, you know what? It's such an emotional thing that maybe some people just didn't want to go in front of the camera, and I don't blame them at all. But, you know, they did their tributes in the ring today. So, Moxley also said that, you know, that he hopes that Brody Lee and everything that's coming out inspires everybody to be a little bit better and appreciate what you have, because every day is a gift. And, you know, it was classy. It was really, really done well. And it was from here. It was from here. Colt Cabana and the Young Bucks. And again, like I said before, pretty much the Dark Order won tonight. Colt Cabana is part of the Dark Order. So Colt Cabana and the Young Bucks beat Matt Hardy and Private Party. You had some of the wrestlers doing some moves and verbally paying tribute to Brody Lee as the match was going along. Yeah, Austin Nance, I posted the picture before, and I'll be getting up to that as well. Lance Archer wearing, and I was surprised Jericho actually said the wife beater, because that's a tank top for most of you out there. But even back in the day, if you remember that old Don Tony picture I posted from 1991, it's me in front of my old Buick. That's exactly what I wore. That's exactly what I used to wear. I don't think I have it handy. But you know what? I'll make sure I have the picture handy tomorrow. We'll have a good couple of good laughs at it. But that's what I used to wear back in the day. The tank top and the light jeans and black boots. So you'd be surprised how many people, oh yeah, some people remember the picture. I'll share it tomorrow. I have a few pictures. We'll have some fun tomorrow. But, you know, Colt Cabana, Young Bucks, we didn't have too much of the progression of Matt Hardy, you know, with the, you know, the character change a little bit with Private Party. I mean, you could see that soon enough, Matt Hardy is going to say, okay, Private Party, you earned your wings. Now it's time for me to go this way and you two guys go this way. That's where it's leading to. Tonight, we didn't have any of that. But basically, Colt Cabana did more tonight than you probably have seen him do in AEW. You know, the moonsault is usually done on very special occasions and holidays, but it was a fun match. It really was a fun match. Young Bucks hit Mark Quinn with the Indy Taker, and Colt Cabana followed it up with the Superman pin, and Colt Cabana gets the pin and wins it for his team. They showed repeatedly Brody's son, John Huber's son, Brody, minus one, at ringside, wearing a Dark Order mask. Now, obviously, Brody Lee's son would come into play during the night, but, you know, like I said, you see his wife, you see his sons, it's sad. It's sad. There's no other way to put it. But, after the match is over, they show Brody Lee's son with Alan Angel at ringside. The Acclaim's music plays. And I honestly, for a second, said to myself, oh my goodness, if the Acclaim start cutting a rap on the Young Bucks, and if they take a shot, I mean, I understand MJF did a little bit, but MJF got his in the end, and that's what is important. But basically, before the Acclaim could do anything, SCU hits the ring, and they basically get punked out by the Young Bucks. Colt Cabana hits bionic elbows on both of them. They storm off. So next week, that tag team match I said earlier, SCU and the Young Bucks versus TH2 and the Acclaimed. So Dark Order of Stu Grayson, Evil Uno, teaming up with Lance Archer, with Jake the Snake Roberts. We can't forget Jake because we got that one move tonight. They defeated Eddie Kingston, the Butcher and the Blade. And, you know, once again, the Dark Order gets the win. I will show the picture one more time because I thought it was awesome. You know, Evil Uno was really, every member of Dark Order, you know, it's not just, you got to understand something. It's not just a faction that's on TV that they just show up. Oh, I'm in the Dark Order, right? Yeah. No, they really became a very close family. And I'm sure you've seen the stories online about John Silver and Brody Lee. Even the screenshot of the text messages of, I think Brody Lee had said to Tony Khan that he thinks that John Silver could be like what Stevie Richards was to Raven, which honestly is not that bad of a comparison, because Stevie Richards in 95 was the lackey for Raven, and he get pushed around and this and that, but you know, Stevie Richards ultimately broke out. And I remember it clearly when he started doing the spoofs of the NWO, and he called it the BWO and Big Stevie Cool and, you know, the blue guy. I mean, and then he had that match, you know, with Sandman and Terry Funk at their first pay-per-view, Barely Legal. No, Ken, I don't think it would be like Murphy to Rollins. Murphy was never considered. See, I should clarify something. I always, I guess, subconsciously assumed that everybody watched ECW or went back and saw 95. I know a lot of you haven't. Stevie Richards was a lackey, but he was goofy. I know I said the G word, but he'd jump up and down and he'd laugh, and he called himself the King of Swing, and he just was just like a total nerd, even though he got to make out with Missy High at that time. But the thing is that he was a lot of comedy as well. So Murphy was not about comedy. Murphy was, you know, he was more of like, like controlled by Rollins. That's probably the best way to put it. Stevie Richards obviously was controlled by Raven, but Stevie Richards was just a goofball. And that's what they talk about when they say with John Silver. So, no, Benjamin, I know Ken brought that up once before. But you see, I never looked at it in that way. So if I did shoot that idea down before, you know, I take it back. I take it back because never looked at John. See, this is the thing. You see John Silver online, very down to earth, very friendly. Getting a cult following, without a doubt. But you don't know what the intentions are as far as the character you see on TV. You don't know if the intentions are for him to be a goofy lackey, you know? So they see more behind the scenes of where the character could go. I don't think it came across on TV all that much. You know, when they had a little segment with the bar trying to recruit Hangman Page, you know, with the other members of Dark Order, then you saw a little bit of goofiness involved. But as far as John Silver goes, I don't think that ever really portrayed on TV. I think that's why never really looked at it that way. But that's something that they were looking at in behind the scenes. Not a bad idea. But, you know, the commentators, you know, put this match over big time. Everybody worked their ass off. Basically, towards the end, you know, you had Lance Archer setting up for the blackout on the blade. Eddie Kingston breaks it up, so Stu Grayson tags in and hits a DDT on the Butcher, and then him, Evil Uno, they landed the fatality on Blade, gets the win, and as soon as Evil Uno pinned the Blade, you know, he put his head on Blade's chest, like you could just see all the emotion coming out. And it's exactly what Shivani said. You know, there's nothing wrong with being a human being, even if it's a wrestling show. There's nothing wrong with showing emotion for a fallen friend, a leader. You know, it's not going to ruin anybody's character. You know, I joked about it on Monday. You want to talk about ruining characters? You look at somebody like Nikki Cross, who ended up looking like an abused dog, you know, because she kept going back to, everybody loves my impersonation, but look what they did. They ruined that character. A lot of people feel that they ruined some other people. You don't ruin someone in one night, obviously, but tonight, you know, real life and real emotions come into play. And you could see right as that match ended, all the emotion coming out. And it was a fun match. Yeah. Lexi. Yeah, something tells me we'll probably have some fun talking about that tomorrow. Like I said, you tune in live with me tomorrow. Nothing is out of bounds. You want to talk COVID? I saw earlier somebody posted a COVID super chat and, you know, about that. that different strain that's out there that I think was really floating around in the UK, and people are now calling it COVID-20. You know, I'll talk about it a little more in detail tomorrow if people want to hear it. But, you know, all viruses will have hybrids and morph, and that's just the nature of what viruses are. But the core RNA and the core DNA that's in the virus, that doesn't change. That's why they're concerned that this might be much catchier, you know, or that doesn't sound like good English, that this hybrid of the virus is more contagious. But in the end, the vaccine should still knock it out of the park. So, yeah, we'll speak on that tomorrow. I'm sure we're going to have some real deep talk tomorrow. But whatever you want. And I will have champagne on hand. So, yeah, mutates. Exactly. Benjamin, spot on. Mutates. But just because it mutates doesn't mean that it's a totally different strain. I've said in passing over the year, like, hopefully we don't have COVID-20 and COVID-21 and COVID-22. This is not COVID-20. COVID-20 would be a whole new strain that this vaccine would not treat. You'd be right back to where we were, so, which I know none of you want. So after the match is over, Eddie Kingston gets back in the ring. And, you know, it looks like one of those typical indie things. You know, you got three people in the corner, each corner. Eddie Kingston goes to one side. Boom! Goes over here. Boom! Goes over here. Boom! Goes up to Jake. Jake delivers. Nice DDT. Jake, he lost weight over the years. DDP helped him tremendously. He battled his addictions. He's still battling. He'll battle it till the day he dies. But he is overcoming that. He's beating it. But that man's body is seriously broken down. You could see when he walks, he concentrates on his steps. That happens. You know, I see it for people that I know that get older, and you could see that a little bit. But for a split second, that man, you know what that reminded me of? People my age will appreciate this a little bit. Jake the Snake Roberts, 10, 15 years ago, obviously battling demons, full blown. But Jake the Snake Roberts, in fact, if you're on our Patreon, there's a podcast on there of myself and Mass Maniac talking to Jake the Snake Roberts. And he compares wrestling storylines to making love, and, you know, like the best storyline is like the ultimate orgasm. I mean, he gets really deep in the conversation. But what Jake would do on so many indie shows is people would pay him just to show up, hit the DDT on someone, and, you know, if you paid enough for it, have a snake as well put on someone. I worked a VPW show in Long Island, and I think it was the same show where I did the Deli Man character. You see him in the background, Deli Man. I think it was the same show that Jake the Snake Roberts, you know, showed up and had Damien and all this other stuff. And, you know, but good for him, man. Good for him. It was nice to see him. I'm sorry, not DDT. I kept saying DDT. Clothesline. When he winds the person up, it does the clothesline. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Sam. You know, it's just always knowing Jake for DDT. The clothesline. You're right, the clothesline. I don't expect Jake to ever do the DDT ever again, because if he falls, you know, how many times you know someone older that falls just from a simple fall? They fall in the house, they break their hip. You know, simple slip, oops, and they break their hip. Jake the Snake, that's why I don't even think I'd ever see Hogan involved in a match again. Only because, you know, if you fall just a little bit awkwardly on the leg drop, that hip is breaking, you know. I apologize. Slip of the tongue. The clothesline that he always does. That's what everybody would see. I mean, we did get to see the DDT also, because all the fans at the indie shows would go, DDT, 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 and then he would do it. But, VJ, great example. Jim the Anvil Neidhart died after a fall. What about, wait. Bob Ryder, that information that came out after, that he had fallen earlier in the day and he did not feel well. He died. it's, you know, you get older, you know, even if it's a scripted move, that still puts tremendous stress on your body, man. So Big T says Dusty. I don't recall if Dusty had fallen. I know Dusty had fallen, but I don't know if that was the direct cause from it. Point is that any type of fall when you get older is very, very serious. Very serious. So, yeah, man, that's what I'm telling you. It's like weird, like freaky shit. I was talking on Patreon about a friend of mine, and you know, we used to play cards with him and his uncle. His uncle was in his 70s, and we had seen him play cards with him 2 days before in the wintertime, and 2 days later, he was dead in his car. Dead in his car. And what we found out was that we knew we had a snowstorm, obviously, but instead of leaving his car parked because the sanitation comes down the block and they kind of totally bury your car in, he tried to shovel out his own car. He's in his 70s. The guy walks 10 times slower than Jake the Snake Roberts currently walks. And he tried to shovel his car out. And he obviously started getting chest pain, sat in his car, and he died. Died of a heart attack. They found him the next day in his car. Door halfway open. But the point is, when we used to play cards, we had the brother of a friend of ours that played card with us as well, 44 years old. And we were playing cards, and you would just hear him go like this. Like every couple of minutes, like, you're all right. Ah, yeah, smoker's cough, because he used to smoke and he quit. Just had this cough that just would just come. And I, like I said, Tuesday, I don't know who convinced him. His mom or somebody to go to the doctor, but he finally went to the doctor and they found all these spots on his lungs. He was dead a couple of months later. 44 years old, you know? I mean, you know, his body wasn't treated as good as Brody Lee treated his own body. But the point is, man, you just never know from a freaking fall. A freaking fall. So, anyway. So, we have Jake the Snake Roberts with the clothesline on Eddie Kingston. And, you know, so far the Dark Order is undefeated today. We had referee Bryce paying really emotional tribute to Brody Lee. And he basically said if there was a Mount Rushmore of wrestling dads, wrestling fathers, Brody Lee should be on there. Look, there will be Brody Lee Memorial Cups. There will be Brody Lee, you know, something tributed to him. I think once we get back to shows, you will see, especially in upstate New York, you will see some promotions doing some memorial events and tributes. By the way, I want to update something that I said on Monday because we weren't sure about what it was. I mentioned on Monday that CM Punk had announced that all the proceeds from his t-shirt sales, all the proceeds. Now, it's interesting because if his t-shirts are through Pro Wrestling Tees, then that means that Pro Wrestling Tees is also donating because, you know, like I said, I sell a shirt, I get a dollar. You know what I mean? So that's all my, you know, so if all the proceeds, that means every penny. But we weren't sure if it was just for December, and December was ending in a week. So I did get clarification. Not only is CM Punk doing this, but I know Mick Foley has now stepped up and is doing this as well. All of their t-shirt sales throughout the month of January, what's left of December plus January, are going to Brody Lee's family. All the proceeds, not just the profits, which is a wonderful thing, a wonderful thing. What's up, Michael Seri? So we had Bryce with a really nice tribute. Eddie Kingston with a really nice tribute. I mean, when Eddie Kingston first came out for his match, said a couple of kind words to Brody Lee, and then he's like, okay, you know, back to business. And he became the asshole that he is on TV. But I have shown my love for Eddie Kingston way before he ever got an NWA. So, yeah, good on Punk and Foley, and I expect others to do it as well. So the next match we have, we have Hangman Page, Alex Reynolds, and John Silver. They're going up against MJF, Santana, and Ortiz. It was a fun match. Couple little things that I really put a smile on my face. First of all, Hangman Page comes out to his own music, and he cuts his music off immediately. He wants the Dark Order's music to hit. And Hangman Page going along with the Dark Order, you know, doing it to the sky and everything. I mean, it just was really, really nice. MJF comes out with Santana Ortiz, and they keep showing Brody's son at ringside. And, yeah, MJF gets in his face, and, you know, he doesn't care about, you know, his son and this and that. You know something physical is going to happen later on. But, you know, the match was fun. Once again, I really enjoyed, you know, Hangman Page earlier said some kind words about Brody Lee as well. And you could see, I mean, I know, you know, we are all aware with Hangman Page's character on TV and everything, but you could see that that physically affected him as well. And, you know, Sam, I agree with you 100%. You know, I understand people out there, they're like, it's a kid. Why are you doing that to a kid? Can't you for one night just be like everybody else? No. Because behind the scenes, his son pinned Kenny Omega last week, you know, and that beautiful story that came out. When we first heard about it last week, didn't think anything of it. Like, oh, okay, maybe they were visiting. You know, it's okay. Now you realize, and I brought this up yesterday, now you realize that Brody Lee's son pinning Kenny Omega to become the AEW heavyweight champion, you know, quote unquote, you know, as I brought up yesterday, that's like what they did with Connor's Cure, and others. But that was done just days before Brody Lee passed. And looking back on that, that when some people asked me yesterday on Patreon, should we see that footage? My answer is no. I think that footage is for the family's eyes only. And I think Brody Lee, that's one of the last things he got to see his son in an AEW ring, pinning Kenny Omega, getting the title, and they filmed that and brought it to him to see that. That's deep, man. That's deep. Even Tony Khan today, you know, saying that his son is champion for life, which is, it was just beautiful, man. But MJF being the ultimate asshole, you know, this is wrestling. This is entertainment. I've been part of, I was part of the Chris Candido Memorial shows, the two of them. The second one is the one where I threw all the X-Lax boxes in the ring and I got pelted with garbage, hot dogs, french fries, sodas, bottles. You know, I mean, some people just do what they do. People that were heels were saying nasty things about Chris Candido. It's part of the storyline. You remember when Eddie passed, a lot of people thought it was offensive to use Eddie Guerrero in a storyline. And honestly, that's up to the wrestlers to decide. That's up to Eddie Guerrero's family to decide. Because for all we know, that guy, you know, told people, you know, if I go, keep my name out there, put me in a storyline, whatever. You know, didn't they do with Paul Bearer? They tried to play off that CM Punk dumped the ashes out. I mean, what's that? It's, there's always a good ending. And tonight you had MJF go outside the ring, getting in Brody Lee's son's face, and he's got a Singapore cane in his hand, and you know exactly what's going to happen. MJF turns around, and I tell you, Brody Lee's son, 8 years old, whack, right on the head. It was great. It was great. You needed, this is what people need to understand. You needed MJF to be an asshole tonight in order to have that moment with Brody Lee's son. Plain and simple. If MJF would have broke character and be like everybody else, there would have been no reason for Brody Lee's son to do that. They needed MJF to be the absolute asshole. So here's this 8-year-old kid, and think of all the people on social media that are going to torment MJF that he got knocked the F out by an 8-year-old. Come on, man. That's a memory for his son. That's a memory for MJF. There is nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing wrong with that. If you find it distasteful, that you have every right to feel that way. But that's up to the family. And trust me, that was cleared with his wife, the family. You don't think they talked to his son first, like, I'm going to get in your face and I'm going to say some very bad things. And when I turn around, I want you to nail me with that. You know, I think people need to leave it alone. MJF had to be a dick tonight in order for Brody Lee's son to have that moment and that memory. Nothing wrong with it at all. Nothing wrong with it at all. So, anyway, towards the end of the match, we had a buckshot lariat by Hangman Page. Actually, I'll even go a little bit earlier. We had the referee distracted for a couple of moments, and we had Wardlow show up. Now, remember, next week it's Wardlow versus Jake Hager. Wardlow shows up, attacks Alex Reynolds with a clothesline, and the next thing you know, and I tell you, this was not piped in. This was not sound effects. Listen to the crowd, as small as they were, erupt when Eric Rowan hit the ring. And I liked that the announcers did not ignore his wrestling character name in WWE. Jericho said John Huber, Brody Lee, Luke Harper. Other people did as well. You're not going to be sued, and it's not classless to do that. The man had a huge part of his career as Luke Harper. You don't just act like only Brody Lee existed, just like WWE. Yes, you know, all WWE fans knew of him in WWE as Luke Harper, but even WWE doesn't get it sometimes. I will criticize them here. You go and you look at what they wrote about the passing of John Huber. They write, John Huber, also known to WWE fans as Luke Harper, as if every WWE fan out there has no fucking clue what Brody Lee did outside of the Wyatt family. And that's a little something I have a problem with. You know, you don't just acknowledge the one character. So, yeah, they mentioned the Bludgeon Brothers. Nothing wrong with that. It's his resume. Nothing wrong with it. So he ends up chasing Wardlow to the back. And the match continues. And then after the match was over, you had, I'm trying to remember. Oh, it was Alex Silver. Because if you notice tonight, every member of the Dark Order got a win. Every member of the Dark Order got a win tonight. And yes, I know it souns like too predictable, right? Didn't matter. After the match was over, you had Eric Redbeard come back out. And like I said before, he had this sign that says, goodbye for now, my brother. See you down the road. Very distraught. I mean, everybody was shedding tears. Even when you were on the opposite side of the teams tonight, you could see some tears being shed. After that match was over, that's when Eddie Kingston's segment in the back paying tribute to Brody Lee. He said he's going to miss Brody Lee busting his balls all the time, but he's going to miss how much Brody Lee believed in Eddie Kingston and what he could do. And he said he wants his Brody Lee's children to know that his father is not gone, that his teachings will live on. He was a warrior inside and outside of the ring. And as long as you keep that memory alive, and I've said this on the shows in the past as well, and I know a lot of you have said it as well. Someone passes, someone in your family, friends, keep their memory alive. You know, I've said before, my grandmother died in 1991, that she's the one that got me into wrestling. And there's little things to this day that I have relatives that I'll say, That's your grandmother talking. You know, the little things about her that I carry on. You know, my mom, some of my attitude, my dad, work ethic and everything like that, that's them, you know, through me. So Anna Jay and Ty Conti defeated Dr. Britt Baker and Penelope Ford. This was, you know, basic match. After the match was over, Britt Baker gets in the ring with Tony Schiavone. And, you know, you didn't realize it at first, but then you realized where she was going with it. And she was like, this is rigged. Anna Jay, it's rigged. This is rigged. It's one big rig. Because that was Brody Lee's nickname. One of his. Big rig. So that's why Britt Baker said that. But I did find it funny, though. Thunder Rosa hits the ring and nails Britt Baker from behind. You go back and you watch it again when she hit Britt Baker. Britt Baker's like, it was funny, man. I got a laugh out of it. Yeah, Big Rig was his old ring name, but people still called him that nickname. That's why you have so many. It's just like, it's a bad comparison, but I think people will get it. It's like Tiny Lister. How many people did you see right online, rest in peace, Debo? You know, it's one of many names that people knew him by. People still call Brody Lee behind the scenes, oh, Big Rig, what's up? It's not just a ring, it's a nickname. So anyway, so next week we have Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker. Main event time. Oh, by the way, I laughed as well. I have to mention this too. There was early in the match when Hangman Page and the Dark Order, they took pieces of paper and they threw it in the faces of MJF, Santana, Ortiz. If you've ever seen the Young Bucks podcast, you know why they did that. But I laughed when Jericho said that they should not be using foreign objects like paper. And I think Jim Ross is like, you're calling paper a foreign object? And Jericho's like, do you know how bad paper cuts feel? I got a paper cut 2 weeks ago, and that son of a bitch burned beyond belief. Yeah, it's not visible anymore, but man, paper cuts are the worst. Paper cuts are the worst. Shout out to Joe D. Oh, he just wrote his parents tested positive for COVID, man. So, you know, take care of them. You know, I'm sure they're probably going to be like, nah, we're fine. Take a little extra precaution, man, because I know people, not too many, but I know some people who are older that caught COVID. They were fine, you know, affected a little bit, but nothing too bad. And I know people who passed. I had a few customers of mine in the insurance world pass from it. So you just follow the doctor's orders. Be careful. Don't put yourself in a position that would make you even more vulnerable. And obviously, as much as you love your parents, which I assume you do, don't get in their face. You know, keep a little distance. I mean, I was with my parents all Christmas weekend, did not kiss or hug my mom or my dad even once. And it bothered me. It bothered me. There was one point where I almost went up to my mom and she's like, no, because we just don't want to take a chance. But I sit on one side of the couch. She sits on the other side of the couch with 10, 15 feet apart. It's not a big deal. So, but Joe, my thoughts and prayers are with you and your family. Absolutely, man. So definitely update us. You know, I want to hear good news. So main event, Preston Vance, 10. Cody and Orange Cassidy beat Team Taz. As you see the running pattern, Member of Dark Order gets the win once again. 10 with the spine buster on Ricky Starks for the win. After the match is over, we think we're going to have Team Taz do another beatdown. And next thing you know, lights go out. Sting is walking towards the ring with Darby Allin by his side. So the early idea of Sting being a mentor to Darby Allin, that seems to be where it's going right now. Fine with it. You know, it was just a cool moment to see him. Yeah, it's very, very kind words. Props to all of you in the chat right now. So I'm sure some of you out there will be posting comments later on because not everybody tunes in live, obviously. But this match, fun match, you know, again, I have no problem with every member of the Dark Order getting wins tonight and getting pinned, the pin, you know. But after the match is over, Cody cuts a very heartfelt, deep promo in the ring, paying tribute to Brody Lee. Crowd is chanting Brody. Jericho said earlier tonight, biggest crowd that they've had in quite a while. And you could hear them. You could hear them. Again, go back and when Eric Redbeard hit the ring. I mean, I actually heard crowd erupt. Not a big eruption, but trust me, you see him hit the ring. Listen to that crowd. I haven't heard that on TV in a long time. A long time. But they bring his family in the ring. They put in the middle of the ring his boots. And Tony Khan is in the ring. He's got a TNT championship. He gives it to Brody's son. He's a champion for life. And just a really nice moment. And then to put the icing on the cake, they did a tribute to Brody Lee, a video montage. A lot of his footage in AEW, a lot of still shot photos. A lot of the photos that I played on Monday. Put about 40 photos here on Monday, and a lot of them were used. I mean, look, everybody was copying them online, so I didn't originate that. But they found some of his old indie work, got permission to use it, which was cool. And it was about 3.5 minutes long, and it was really, really, really well done. You don't have to have this unbelievably choreographed tribute to be well done. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. So, you know, that's the tribute show. It was bittersweet. It was a fun night. You knew why everything was happening. And, you know, just a really, really wonderful way to go out. I tell you, I'm really happy that AEW showed some WWE photos as well, because they're not just focusing on the AEW wrestler that they knew. They focused on his whole career. They didn't ignore or avoid anything. Now, do I think WWE is going to use AEW footage? No. You could see WWE doesn't need to, because WWE had he was there for so long. But one thing kind of feels, something tells me you won't see so many family pictures. If WWE puts a video tribute out on their website, because it might be too late now, they'd put it on Raw next week, because, you know, social media would be like, oh, a week too late. They put one on WWE's website, something tells me they will focus. They'll talk about him being a great family man, but you might see 1/20th of the family footage than anything else. Not because his family didn't share it, but because WWE seems to focus more on the career than the actual person. So, and you know what? Both tributes combined might end up being beautiful. So NXT, I'm not going to lie to you. I had a hard time getting into it because I had so much attention to the tribute show on AEW. But, you know, you could tell by the placement of the matches that WWE knows this week they're not expecting a great number in their ratings. You had the opening match being Bronson Reed defeating Isaiah Swerve Scott. They brawled outside the ring, inside the ring. It was a decent match. But you're right at the beginning of this Brody Lee tribute, and you give us Bronson Reed and Isaiah Swerve Scott. So you could see pretty much where everybody's attention is. But you have Bronson Reed get the win. And by the way, WWE showed the same graphic like they did on Raw. No 10-bell salute. They could have just played 10 bells in the background showing the graphic. I would have been fine with that. They just showed it. No 10-bell salute. And guess what? You don't need a whole bunch of production to do a 10-bell salute. So the awards tonight, I'm not going to get into the awards now. I'll read you the awards after. But throughout the night, you had William Regal announcing the nominees and the winners of the awards. Some wrestlers on screen during NXT were accepting their awards. Some were off camera because we had one or two actually chosen before NXT even started today. And the funny thing is, towards the latter of the night, now you say to yourself, huh, when they did that on Monday with The Miz losing to one of the Lucha House Party members, huh, did they have in their mind what they were planning on doing today? Because if you didn't see NXT, we had an appearance by the Lucha House Party. I'm giving it away now. Trying to get excited about this. But look, I'm not knocking anybody at work today in NXT, but you just couldn't get into it. Breezango versus the Grizzled Young Veterans. It continues what I feared. When Breezango won those tag titles, it felt like, remember I said that I would be extremely happy if they were allowed to hold them to the end of 2020. They lost them so freaking fast. Oney Larkin and Danny Burch have almost no momentum right now. And now Breezango is back to where they were before they even got in contention for those belts. They lost to the Grizzled Young Veterans. During this match, they announced the return of the Dusty Classic in 2 weeks. And after the match is over, you have Ever-Rise. Like I said at the beginning of the show, they're on the rampway talking smack to the Grizzled Young Veterans. And I'm saying to myself, does anybody in the back have the heart to tell WWE Creative? Most fans don't give a two flying you-know-whats about Ever-Rise or even the Grizzled Young Veterans. Not against the Grizzled Young Veterans. They just need more time. But Ever-Rise, I'm telling you, it feels low budget. Low budget. I mean, it just felt low budget to me. I'm sorry. I just, that's how I feel about it. Adam Cole and Roderick Strong, as I said earlier, they will be representing the Undisputed Era in the Dusty Classic. By the way, I wrote it down. Previous winners of the Dusty Classic were Matt Riddle and Pete Dunne, tag team that COVID fucked up, let's be honest. Aleister Black and Ricochet. Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. The Authors of Pain and Finn Balor and Samoa Joe. I wonder how many people remember Finn Balor and Samoa Joe winning that. So I don't think the Undisputed Era are going to win it this year, but we still don't know all the teams that are going to be involved. Next week, we have the return of Xia Li and Boa. They will be returning next week. We got a segment today where the light, you know, they were in that dark, you know, wherever it was, looked like some punk's basement from the internet. They were in some dungeon somewhere, some cellar. The light came, the doors opened up, and they left into the bright light. They are returning next week. We'll see if they have that smear of ink on their face. But I'm excited, man. Like I said, now you have to have Xia Li and Boa beat the shit out of everybody. Otherwise, all that torture stuff, seriously, the minute they show any weakness, you got to have Mr. Yamafuchi. I just made up a fake whatever name. They have to have Mr. Yamafuchi show up. Enough! No! Enough! Somehow this guy's going to be non-existent. Mercedes Martinez beats the living shit out of Valentina Feroz, blah, blah, blah. After the match is over, Mercedes Martinez, audible on the mic, every female in NXT is on her radar. I love it. Mish, you watch this back. Mish is a huge fan like me of Mercedes Martinez. Problem is, I think in the end, I won't say that she'll be laying outside like she did as part of the Robert Stone brand, but Mercedes Martinez is there to help other people. But I absolutely love Mercedes Martinez. Little too late for WWE to be utilizing her now like this, but I'd rather have a little bit of Mercedes Martinez than no Mercedes Martinez. Yeah, their vignettes, Xylee and Bo's vignettes have been phenomenal. I got news for you, man. What WWE, like I said earlier, did not do with the NXT awards, they didn't do goofy stuff like the Slammies. Like, they made extra categories just to have people win it. I would have been fine if they came up with some freaking category so Xylee and Bo could have won it. But she was nominated for Future Star, I think, and she didn't win that. But we'll get into those in a little bit. Pete Dunne defeating Roderick Strong. Again, I thought this was going to close out NXT. Not only was I surprised that it opened hour two, but the match did not go anywhere near as long as I thought it was going to go. But, you know, the match was fun. And, you know, in the end, Pete Dunne wins. Now, you might remember about a month ago, I said I would love to see Pete Dunne take on Finn Balor for that championship. After the match was over, Finn Balor comes out because they had just announced that Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly, I know I'm giving away some of the awards results now, but it's important. Kyle O'Reilly versus Finn Balor won match of the year. I know a lot of you may disagree with that a little bit, but that is not a bad choice when you really think about it. But they had the two awards, one for Finn Balor and one for Kyle O'Reilly. And Balor goes out to the ring, and Balor, you know, doesn't care too much about the award. It's about the championship. But when Finn Balor comes down to the ring, Pete Dunne is there. Pete Dunne crosses paths with Finn Balor, and he wants a shot at the NXT title. And Finn Balor basically tells him, wait in line. So I hope they do something with Pete Dunne and Finn Balor. The problem is, you feel like Karrion Kross is going to be thrown right in there unless they decide they're going to do like a four-way or a five-way match after, you know, New Year's Evil goes. But Finn Balor hits the ring, and, you know, he talks about the match next week with Kyle O'Reilly. Kyle O'Reilly comes out there, and as I said earlier, cuts an awesome emotional promo that you felt it right through the screen. And I'm going to be rooting for Kyle O'Reilly next week. And, you know, I don't think he's going to get it. But after he cuts his promo, they're having a little bit of a stare down. And next thing you know, you hear Scarlett. And she cuts a couple of words. She comes out with Karrion Kross. And she basically says that doesn't matter who wins in 7 days, their fate is sealed. Karrion Kross, It was funny because it reminded me of the Keith Lee stuff that we used to see. Remember when Keith Lee would have a match in NXT towards the end and somebody would get the upper hand and they'd be like looking the other way and then Keith Lee's head would do one of these right behind him? We got that tonight. Karrion Kross says, Doomsday is here. And he says, TikTok. And Damian Priest. The funny thing about it is if Damian Priest wears like any type of like armpit spray or aftershave lotion, I mean, you would have, Karrion Kross would have smelled it. He was right behind him in his neck. And it was kind of comical for a second, but they turn around and Damian Priest starts going at it with Karrion Kross. They brawl through some plexiglass. They brawl through a table and Scarlett, she looked like she was really into the violence. Is that the nice way to say it? She was really into the violence. Really into the violence. She kind of like would look like she, let's be honest, she looked like she was turned on by it. And you had those side camera shots focusing on her body a little bit. You know, they sold it well. I'm looking forward to that match next week too. we had two vignette packages, one hyping up the match between Timothy Thatcher and Tommaso Ciampa, Rhea Ripley and Raquel Gonzalez is going to be off the hook. I'm telling you, I am so enjoying Raquel Gonzalez. I've been saying it for a few months now. She's earned it, man. She's earned it. And I got news for you. I actually hope that Raquel Gonzalez gets the win next week. I don't think it's going to hurt Rhea Ripley in any way. Rhea Ripley's on momentum right now. She really is. And it's a falls count anywhere match. So you can have fuckery at the end, and it's not going to hurt whoever loses. So even if Raquel Gonzalez ends up losing, it's not going to hurt her. She's on a momentum. Rhea Ripley's on a momentum. And we'll see what happens. So next we have Legado del Fantasma. Legado del Fantasma. They're in the ring. Santos Escobar is talking about what a year 2020 was for them. And they get interrupted by Gran Metalik and Lince Dorado. And they're going back and forth. And within 10 seconds, we find out that after commercial break, they're going to be facing each other. It's going to be Raul Mendoza what's his partner's name? Oh, my God. Raul Mendoza and chat, bail me out, chat room. Santos Escobar, Raul Mendoza, and who the hell's, I can't remember his name right now. I've got a brain fart right now. But anyway, Santos Escobar there's like a 7-second delay, by the way, audio people out there. That's why nobody's answering immediately. But yeah, Joaquin Wilde. Thank you, Joaquin Wilde. Sorry. But Raul Mendoza, Joaquin Wilde versus Lucha House Party. You know, and the Lucha House Party, they're cutting their promo like, you know, Lucha is for everyone. What does that even mean? Lucha is for everyone. Isn't everything for everyone, like always? Like, when is it just... So anyway, they have a match. And the next thing you know, you have the Lucha House Party actually get the win. Gran Metalik hits the elbow drop on Raul Mendoza. And after the match is over, you see Gran Metalik going like this. He wants Santos Escobar's Cruiserweight Championship. And we find out that next week we are going to have Gran Metalik versus Santos Escobar for the Cruiserweight Championship. I don't know, man. I mean, does this say that the tag team division in NXT is that crappy? Or is this just them or they have paid so little attention with the Cruiserweight division, even though they had fucking 205 Live, that they're like, we don't have anybody. Think of all those Cruiserweights that they have like burned through in the last couple of months, and you realize we have done nothing to like try to like solidify Santos Escobar's run as Cruiserweight champion. The closest you got to it was Jake Atlas trying to act tough in a car outside in a parking lot. And that really did not work. So you got the Acme Insta-feud. Anybody who goes back with me to the 90s knows the Acme Insta-feud. That's what we got tonight, the Acme Insta-feud. And you know what? And yes, Angel, it is going to be an early night because I'm going to save Impact Wrestling for Friday. I think tonight we leave it AEW and NXT. And by the way, Impact Wrestling, their pay-per-view is not for a couple of more weeks. Impact is not till next Tuesday. So if we talk about it on Friday, that still is plenty of days in advance. I have quite a bit of news about Impact Wrestling, and they're doing another one of those virtual meet and greets, which is pretty cool. So we'll spend some time Friday a little bit with Impact Wrestling. So, but anyway, giving away one more spoiler with the NXT Awards. Future Star, I don't think anybody would argue with it. Austin Theory gets it. And they're in the back. And it was funny because Indy Hartwell was on that list too. So Indy Hartwell had a puss on her face because Austin Theory won and she didn't. And you have Candice LeRae basically telling Austin Theory to share the award. So when when Indy Hartwell gets the award, she's got this big smile on her face and everything. And we're about to get the main event. Johnny Gargano defending the North American Championship against Leon Ruff. And Austin Theory tells Johnny Gargano, tonight you're going to break the curse. And Johnny Gargano's like, never say the C word. He takes the whey protein jar and flings it across the room, and you hear glass shatter. And that's supposed to be seven more years of bad luck. Broken window, broken mirror. So you realize that the jar of whey protein broke the mirror. So now Johnny Gargano is all going batshit, thinking that he's got seven more years of bad luck. But the main event, fun match. I don't think it really, again, I'm really questioning this choice as the main event. Again, I honestly would have been fine with Pete Dunne versus Roderick Strong, but they went with this main event, and Johnny Gargano does defeat Leon Ruff. Leon Ruff, towards the end of the match, got a little bit of momentum, hit a beautiful flatliner outside the ring to the padded floor, and he went for a splash, but on, you know, Johnny Gargano got the upper hand, and he hit his finisher and got the win. And that's how we went off the air. I tell you, Austin Theory, man, you know, me, I'm a heterosexual guy, but I can't help but to notice this fucking guy's got guns. He's got guns. That guy, you could see that WWE has turned the corner with Austin Theory, and now they're starting the build of Austin Theory. So look, I'm not even going to do a ratings prediction this week, because I don't look at it like that this week. Whatever the ratings are, I will share it with you on Friday. If I get the quarter hour ratings, I will share them as well. Be interesting to see like what peaked where, and, you know, on the NXT side, what gained people's interest and the opposite. But New Year's Eve next week, we have Finn Balor versus Kyle O'Reilly for the NXT Championship. I think Finn Balor is going to retain. Karrion Kross versus Damian Priest, one-on-one. Karrion Kross is going for that belt. So Karrion Kross, I think, has to get the win over here. Raquel Gonzalez versus Rhea Ripley, last woman standing match. I know the odds are that Rhea Ripley will get the win here, but Raquel Gonzalez is on such momentum. But I expect an odd finish. Maybe somebody gets pinned underneath something and they can't get out of it, and that's how they lose. If they do something like that, then I can see Rhea Ripley win. I can see Rhea Ripley, you know, and they did the forklift spot that time where you put the forklift down and then a person's like forced underneath like this. So I could see where Raquel Gonzalez is totally incapacitated, and that's how Rhea Ripley wins. If they don't do something like that, I think Raquel Gonzalez gets it. Tommaso Ciampa versus Timothy Thatcher in the fight pit. I don't know, man. I mean, Tommaso Ciampa, the storyline was kind of dopey. It didn't make sense in the beginning. I want these two guys to team. I tell you the truth. I'd be happy with neither one getting the win. Neither one could continue. Let it be even. Even though I know that's probably not going to happen, but let it be even. And I think, boy, Timothy Thatcher might need a little bit of a win here after everything that's led up to this. But I'd be fine if both of them just knock each other out, seriously. And then we got added today, Santos Escobar versus Gran Metalik for the Cruiserweight Championship. I think Santos Escobar retains. Gran Metalik, you know, hey, Lucha House Party, you defeat Miz. You defeat Miz, and we give you extra pay. NXT. Yes, NXT. And then New Year's Evil. So I'm fine with it, man. I've said it before. I have no problem with WWE bringing someone from the main roster in NXT for a cup of coffee here and there. Mix it up a little bit. Spice it up a little bit. What would you rather have? Jake Atlas? Would you have Isaiah Swerve Scott? Or Ashante Adonis? No, they haven't done anything to really garner our interest. So with that said, here are the 2020 award winners for NXT. And as I said earlier, some of the nominees that were there before were not there tonight. Breakout Star of the Year. Your choices were Pat McAfee, Damian Priest, Shotzi Blackheart, Cameron Grimes, Dexter Lumis, Timothy Thatcher, Raquel Gonzalez. By the way, yes, we can't forget Dexter Lumis will be hosting New Year's Eve next week. I hope they come out with that autographed thing like Halloween Havoc. I got to get my hands on one and give it away here. Cameron Grimes, Dexter Lumis, Timothy Thatcher, Raquel Gonzalez, Santos Escobar, or Ilya Dragunov. Got to pronounce right. They gave it to Shotzi Blackheart. Fan voting and NXT's decision. I narrowed it down to either Raquel or Shotzi Blackheart. But Shotzi Blackheart needed to win something. So I have no problem with that whatsoever. Rivalry of the year. Choices were Kaylee Ray versus Piper Nevin. Walter versus Ilya Dragunov. Rhea Ripley versus Raquel Gonzalez, Shotzi Blackheart versus Robert Stone, Dexter Lumis versus Cameron Grimes, Damian Priest versus Johnny Gargano, Candice LeRae versus Io Shirai, or Adam Cole versus Pat McAfee. I would have given it to Rhea versus Raquel, but that feud is going to go into 2021. They gave it to Adam Cole and Pat McAfee. I don't really have too much of a complaint there either. That ended up being a lot better than what we thought it would be. So, nah, I don't really have much of an issue with that. Tag Team of the Year. Choices are Legado del Fantasma, Gallus, Imperium, Breezango, Oney Lorcan, and Danny Burch or the Undisputed Era. They gave it to the Undisputed Era. So no argument there as well. Undisputed Era. That might have been the third year in a row that they've won it, by the way. Male Competitor of the Year. They had male competitor, female competitor, and the overall star of the year. So right now, male competitor of the year, the choices were Finn Balor, Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano, Keith Lee, Walter, or Tommaso Ciampa. And the winner was Adam Cole. Female competitor of the year, choices were Rhea Ripley, Io Shirai, Candice LeRae, Dakota Kai, Kaylee Ray, or Tegan Knox. Winner there was Io Shirai. So the final award tonight was going to be the overall competitor of the year, and it would be Adam Cole versus Io Shirai, obviously. Event of the year. Choices were NXT TakeOver War Games, Halloween Havoc, TakeOver 30, TakeOver 31, Great American Bash, TakeOver In Your House, TakeOver Portland, or UK TakeOver Blackpool 2. And they gave the award to NXT War Games. And Team LeRae, the way, I should say, not the whole, you know, Team LeRae. It was the way that accepted the award. Future Star of the Year, as I said earlier, Austin Theory won it. The choices that were on that list also were Jake Atlas, Leon Ruff, Casey Cananzaro, Caden Carter, Indy Hartwell, Xia Li, A-Kid, Ify Valkyrie, and Pretty Deadly. So Austin Theory wins that. End match of the year. A lot of matches were eliminated for some reason. So these were your choices. Charlotte, everybody's favorite, versus Rhea Ripley versus Io Shirai for the women's title at NXT TakeOver In Your House. The men's war game match at TakeOver War Games. Walter versus Ilya Dragunov for the NXT UK title. Finn Balor versus Kyle O'Reilly for the NXT championship. And a Fatal 4-Way Iron Man match for the NXT title. Finn Balor versus Tommaso Ciampa versus Adam Cole versus Johnny Gargano from Super Tuesday. And the winner was Finn Balor versus Kyle O'Reilly from TakeOver 31. The overall superstar of the year came down to Adam Cole and Io Shirai. And your winner was Io Shirai. So I don't really... don't have any complaints. I kind of just wish that Raquel Gonzalez could have won something. But guess what? Next year, something tells me she's going to get quite a few awards. So she is on the right path. So, oh, come on. That's cruel, man. Seriously, Ken, you send me a PayPal. I'll send you the funds back. But I can't say that. Come on. For one night, we can't just like... be a little bit nice, man. Got to be a little bit nice. So, but anyway, we are under 2 hours still. Yes, a little bit longer. I think I did the Brody Lee tribute show right by talking a little bit, just being some down-to-earth combo today. But like I said, Impact Wrestling, we could wait till Friday. You know, because remember, New Year's Eve, I'm going to be here for a couple of hours just chewing the fat, whatever you guys and gals want to talk about. Remember, you know, don't go into New Year's Eve. If you're going to hang out for a little while, don't go into it thinking it's going to be just wrestling talk. Because a lot of you out there have been asking for the YouTube channel to have a show that pretty much anything, whether it's life or just regular, just conversation, nothing planned, nothing organized, just once a week or once every other week, just talking about whatever. That's where I'm going into this tomorrow. If you guys want to talk about wrestling, you want to talk a bit more about Brody Lee, you want to talk about anything, I'm with you 100%. But I just want to prepare that if we get into some real deep combo, if we get into some movie stuff or politics or, you know, life or stimulus checks or COVID, you know, we're going to have some really cool conversation. And so it's going to be just like all of us hanging out, literally having some drinks and just talking about whatever. So, but yeah, we could talk baseball. I'm telling you, whatever's on your minds, man. I really want to see Thursday develop into something special. I want all the shows to be special, but I want every show to have its own identity. You know, Monday with Mish is Raw, WWE combo, and any big news that needs to be discussed. Wednesdays are mostly AEW and NXT, and sometimes if we have some time to bring in a couple other promotions. Friday is SmackDown, sometimes pay-per-view predictions, rating, quarter-hour ratings, and anything else that took place during the week that we didn't cover earlier in the week. Weekends, you know, we got pay-per-views. We still have some play on the weekends as well. I don't want to do a show every single day, but so many of you have been wanting a show here where it's not strictly just wrestling, that it could be anything. So that's what it's going to be tomorrow. We will see how that goes. And let's see. Oh, yeah, but Ken, you know what? You could mute him, I think. Can you mute him? But I could mute him. Maybe I will mute him. But I'm not going to do anything tonight. I want to get this online for all of you that may have tuned in late. I hope you enjoyed this episode. You know, as I say always, before you go, if you enjoyed it, I appreciate it if you gave it a like or a thumbs up. That tells YouTube that you like the show and you recommend it to others. And the more that happens, the more I get exposure. I can't thank you enough for the kind words for Monday. Monday's show, although it was a tragic passing in Brody Lee, I think Monday's show is my favorite show I've done all year. Because it was straight from the heart, and we had some fun convo, remember, Monday with this? We had some good laughs as well, and I think some laughs were needed on Monday. Monday just, out of the whole year, of all the shows that I do, I think Mondays was my favorite. And it's sad, you know, at the same time, but, you know, it just, everything about it just clicked. And I thank you all for the support. 2020 has been messed up, but, you know, if there's ever any motto for the Donzilla Army, don't know if you're a member of the Donzilla Army, you're all welcome to be, but if there's one motto I think I should have had throughout the year, that maybe I even need to put it on a shirt, but I want it to be for all of us in 2021. Our motto should be plain and simple, that turn chicken shit into chicken salad. I mean, seriously, I know it sounds cliche and it's kind of goofy and corny and everything, and shout out to, now, I know this is not the real John Cena, because it'd be a bunch of zeros added to that somewhere, but John Cena 2011, much love, my friend. Merry Christmas, belated, happy holidays, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate. And if you're around tomorrow, come hang out for a little while, seriously. But I really mean that. If we should try to take chicken shit and turn it into chicken salad wherever we can. Seriously. You get fed chicken shit on social media, turn it into chicken salad. You get fed chicken shit at your job, turn it into chicken salad. You see all this political crap on TV that don't even pay attention anymore. You see these, even these assholes on the right that, you know, willing to give hundreds of millions and billions of dollars overseas, but people literally got to beg to get a little bit extra money, you know, here in the United States. You turn that chicken shit into chicken salad. You know, you get bullshit from people. You turn, seriously, the more you turn chicken shit into chicken salad, you know, the less it tastes like chicken shit. You know what I mean? That's why I feel bad for the people that wasted 10 months, wasted it. I tried not to waste it, man. I tried to go as full steam ahead as I possibly could. I didn't accomplish everything that I wanted to. But I think we've made some progress, and I think 2021 is going to be so much better for all of us. But we got to just keep our eye on the prize, and that is, as weird as it sounds, trying to have a little bit more of a normal life. But anyway, I'm going to jet out of here. We're at the two-hour mark, so much love. And again, if you're around New Year's Eve, as of right now, it looks like it's going to be from 10 p.m. Eastern until 1 a.m. Could go longer. Could end up going a little shorter, but I will be here. We'll rein in the new year. I don't know if I'm going to have a countdown clock or anything like that, but I'm sure the chat room, you know, we'll do a little countdown, and, you know, maybe I will get a little bit. You know, I am. I'm going to look tomorrow during the day for some footage of, like, you know, just a countdown, which, I don't know. We'll see. I think we'll probably just be better. Anyway, we're not cheesy like that. We could just do it ourselves. You know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Fuck you, 2020. You know, that's how we'll do it. So, all right, everybody. Good night. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Definitely leave your comments. What you thought about both shows? What you thought about the tribute? Anything else you want to bring up? By all means. And I'm gonna jet out of here. So. Much love as always. Thank you for the support. And I'll see you all, yeah, Thursday night. Yeah, look, he's there in the chat right now, 10-10-10. He inspired. I'm probably going to go live at 10-10 on New Year's Eve. It's either going to be 10 p.m. or 10-10. So, all right, everybody. Good night. All the best. I'll catch you all New Year's Eve. Ciao, everybody.